The good news is there's only two things that distract us. One is ourselves, and the other one is everything else. So if we can address that, right? Because you're working, and what is the thing that causes you to be distracted? You start to feel resistance, you get bored, you get tired, it's hard. And so you say, oh, I'll just quickly go over here to YouTube or to my emails and see what's going on. That's where all distractions come from, in my opinion. They come from within, where you just get tired of doing the task or scared about it or whatever, bored of it, and you look to ease yourself out of that situation. Greetings, friends. I'm James.
And I'm Randy. You're listening to the Passionately Wrong podcast, where we challenge your assumptions, offer some different perspectives, and hopefully help you make better decisions.
Hi, everybody. Today, we're going to talk to you about how not to be distracted. We all can do a good job setting priorities. At least if you've been listening to us, you can do a better job of that now. But in order to work on your priorities, you have to cut out all the things that are preventing you from working on them. So we're going to share tips from Randy and from me today about how we manage to focus on what we've decided is going to be our priority for the day. So Randy, I'm going to turn it over to you and give us your top three tips for how you avoid being distracted, and then we'll explore them.
Well, the first thing I do is, and we talked about this in one of our first episodes, was I make a list of my priorities for the day. And I allow myself to be distracted after I finish the list. But the goal is to finish the list of those two or three things that have to be done because they're due either that day, the next day, or they require a lot of time, which means I have to invest some kind of time every day to do them. But I think that's important. I think you should allow yourself some distractions. You can't just focus on your work for, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours straight. I don't think that's healthy either. So the first one I would say is kind of make a list of your priorities before you can be a little bit more lax with your time. The second thing, I don't know. I don't think I have three, James.
All right. Well, let me start with that first one because I like it a lot. And it is, if we haven't already reinforced the point enough, it is worth reinforcing. You should know what are the most important things that you need to be working on at that given moment in time. In an earlier episode, we talked about distinguishing between things you need to do right now, things you maybe need to do that week, and then things that are farther off in the future. You and I both follow a practice of adjusting our priority list pretty much daily. Each day, either at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, I like to do it at the end of the day so I know what I'm going to be working on the next day. You readjust and reevaluate your priorities and say, okay, in light of everything that's happened, what do I need to be working on tomorrow? And you said two things that I think are good advice, and it's very simple advice. Do something on your priority list first before doing something that's not on your priority list. It sounds stupid, but it is actually really helpful advice. If you want to get stuff done, focus on the things that you've put on your priority list. And then I think we'll have to explore this other one more, which is you're not a machine. You're not going to be able to work productively 10 or 12 hours a day. Most of us can't anyway. There will be distractions, and give in to those distractions, but do it in a planned way. So I know a distraction is something unplanned that takes you from your work, but what we're suggesting is plan your distractions by saying, all right, after I work for 2 hours on my priorities, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to do whatever I do for that half hour. I'm going to read the paper while I eat lunch, or I'm going to check my emails, that whatever it is that's distracting you from your time. I'll add a second one to our list, Randy, and then we can explore it if it makes sense to you. And that is help create an environment in which you are more likely to be productive. So structure your work environment, in other words. And I think of this as both physical and mental. So for example, if you're able to do it, put yourself in a physical space where people aren't going to walk in on you. If you can be in an office or in a room and close the door, and people know that when the door is closed, they can't just barge in and ask you to do something, that's a way to help avoid getting distracted. Similarly, what is a problem for a lot of people on their desktop environment, their electronic environment, wherever they're working, there's lots of things that are going to potentially compete for your attention. You're going to get a ping when you get an email. You're going to get a notification when somebody posts something on Instagram. As much as possible, turn off all of those alerts. You don't need to be getting an alert every time somebody does something in any electronic stream somewhere that you might be signed up to. And for me, I learned that I couldn't even turn on my email program or my calendar program. I didn't even start them because if I did, the temptation was immediately to go look and say, oh, what emails came in overnight? I really started with my then paper to-do list and my priority list and said, what is the first two things on my list? And before even turning on my computer many times, I would start working on that first priority. So creating a physical environment, a structure, a room, and then your electronic environment to help support your work was one important tool that I use to help manage distractions.
I want to add to that is that I do the exact opposite, but the way I get around it, I do the exact opposite by, as soon as I wake up, I clean out my email, for instance, or something like that. But that's we call it in the military, call it your battle rhythm, what you do every day, you know, what your daily things you do. So my battle rhythm is I clean out my email box in the day, and the first thing when I wake up, and I clean it out at the end of the night. So I go to bed with nothing that is pending except what I haven't been able to address for whatever reason.
Can I ask, does that allow you then to not look at email during the day? Or not as much?
Yeah, probably not as much. Like I'll look at it, I think another once or twice, like at noon or like right before dinner or something like that, just to see if something's piled up or something. My business requires me to be kind of very responsive. A lot of my notifications come in and say, hey, I need an editor to do this. And they're going to get 50 replies within a half hour. So if I don't reply, I'll be at the bottom of the list.
I actually see a difference between the types of communications you're getting by email and the types of communications that happen in a traditional corporate setting, where there's still the desire for someone, they want to get a response from you right away. But usually your emails are just someone giving you work and you're not getting paid extra for doing that work. Whereas you're running a business, so you want to know on a relatively regular basis. And so the difference, I would say, is for you, checking and responding to emails is one of your priorities because it drives your business. Therefore, you've got a battle rhythm where you check it in the morning, you check it at noon, you check it at night, because that's how you make sure your business stays going. So this already raises an important distinction that we need to highlight, which is the stuff that we're talking about is just stuff that we've learned how to apply in our professional careers. Your situation will probably be different. So take something that we say that makes sense and apply it to your circumstances. I'm saying don't check emails. Randy's saying do check emails. You will decide which is the method that works best for you, but you'll do it based on what are your priorities that you've set for the day.
Another thing I also do is, in addition to making my top three priorities, I'll make a schedule of like, hey, when am I going to work out at the gym? When am I going to wake up? I may wake up earlier and that means I can read a book or something like that, but by no means will I wake up later than this and I'll set an alarm for that. And so I make the schedule and I always allot more time than I think is going to let me complete the task, which allows for the distractions like someone coming in and say, hey, the dogs need to go get walked, or we need to clean the house up because we're having guests tonight and you're my number one partner to do that, or something like that that I hadn't anticipated. But I'll always add like another half an hour to what I think it's going to take me. And another thing about different work environments, I have jobs that I know are going to take me 20 to 40 hours. So I usually invest 1 or 2 hours a day on those jobs and then move on to my next job that I also has also a shorter term or a one-time thing or a long-term. So I have 3 or 4 jobs that I continuously are working on every day a lot of times. And my goal in my mind is I'm going to edit 4 chapters. I know the 4 chapters will not usually take me an hour, but I'll allot 2 hours for it, just so in case it's a difficult chapter, I don't want to go over my 2 hours. But if I do it in an hour, then I have an hour of free time to catch up on my Netflix thing or play with the dogs or something like that. Or if distractions actually jump in on me, then I'll have to address them.
So that's interesting. This is probably the first time that you and I have followed such different approaches for several things, because I was going to say, don't do things in pieces. Focus and get them done. But of course, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I understand why you would need to do it that way. I want to come back to the first thing you said, which is how you schedule your time and allocate extra time. For any non-trivial task, so anything that's going to take more than 5 minutes, I found it always takes longer than expected. And unfortunately for me, it always takes longer than my fudge. So I think, oh, this will take half an hour. I'm going to schedule an hour. It then takes 2 hours. And I could never trick myself. I fully agree with the phenomenon. Things will take longer, partly because you will get distracted, but also partly because they just take longer than you estimate. And despite 20 years of trying to estimate accurately and then fudge accurately, I never could do it. So I was just like, I'm going to do my best and it's probably going to take longer. So what I ended up doing was assuming that it was going to take longer than the one day. So if I said, I have to get this task done, it's going to take me an hour. I'd schedule 2 hours and then I would leave time on the second day to say, well, you know, just in case I didn't get it done on day one, I'm going to leave a block on day two. So perhaps the takeaway is if you schedule every minute of your day, you're going to get frustrated very quickly because you won't be as productive as you would like and you won't be able to completely manage your distractions. And then your point about doing things in pieces. So if you have a 40-hour project, doing an hour a day, of course, that's eminently sensible. Maybe I could analogize that to how do you train for running a marathon? You do it over months, right? It's not just you run 42 kilometers, 26 miles one time, and then you're done. You build up to it. It takes you a long time. And if you know that the project is a big one and it's going to require a significant amount of time spent to get ready, then you can schedule that time. And I guess you know enough about your business to know how to schedule your time in that way. The reason I said I disagree with you is that sometimes I found working on 10 projects an hour at a time was counterproductive because it took some mental energy to get into each project and some mental energy to get out of the prior one. There's a little bit of stickiness when you switch from task to task, at least for me. It's also the reason why we advise our employees not to multitask. Multitasking is incredibly counterproductive because your attention sticks with the prior task before you can switch to the next task. So I found a mix of really quality blocks of time, scheduling 4 hours to work on something. It took me half an hour to get back into the topic. I could work really productively for 3 hours, and then I would maybe have half an hour to get back out of that topic and work on something else. Worked a little bit better for me, but that was just the nature of the things I was working on.
Well, I think it all depends on the kind of work you do. Like, I consider my work creative, and my part of my task every day is to write my own books, but I can't say, okay, it's going to take me 100 hours to write this book, so I'm going to dedicate this week and I'm going to do 100-hour week and write the book and I'll be finished with it, because that's not the way the muse hits me. And then on the other side of the coin, the way I make my money is editing other people's books, which is also in its own way a creative process. Even though they've done the creativity, I have to developmentally edit and think creatively to help them write a more compelling story. And once again, it's just burnout. If I concentrate, if I know this book is going to take me 20 hours to edit because I have to read it, analyze it, and offer advice, it's just burnout after a while. It took me a while to figure this out, but by breaking it into parts, it actually makes my mind rest. And I also don't schedule two creative things in a row, because I have to do my own marketing for my business, my own client interaction and meetings and stuff. I'll schedule uncreative things in between that, my workout, stuff like that.
Yeah, the burnout issue is a real one. And it maybe is simply this. It's difficult to do the same thing productively well, that requires thought anyway, for an extended period of time without a break. It is similar to exercise. You can exercise really well for an hour or 2 hours, but if you try to do it at the same level for 8 hours, you're not going to be happy. So your mind is not really that much different. I was smiling when you talked about not scheduling two creative blocks in a row and you try to switch off between stuff that requires thinking and stuff that doesn't. I would try to schedule what I thought were my least productive activities all for big chunks of time to get it all out of the way. So if I had to do meetings or performance evaluations or something that was important, but not sort of strategic work, I would say, all right, Tuesday is going to be my meeting day. I'm going to schedule 16 meetings back to back because I didn't need to think necessarily or prepare a lot for each one. But otherwise, yes, I could see the benefit in saying, all right, I'm going to do a couple hours of this task and then I'm going to switch to something that doesn't require the same attention. What we really haven't addressed though, Randy, we've said you got to prioritize and understand what's important to work on. I suggested structuring your environment, so physically and electronically. And then you added the piece about scheduling your time, which is what we've been talking about now. But really, the question I think we should address head on is, what are the things that actually do distract us and how do you avoid them from distracting us? I was thinking about this as I was getting ready for this session. And the good news is there's only two things that distract us. One is ourselves, and the other one is everything else. So if we can address that, right? Because you're working, and what is the thing that causes you to be distracted? You start to feel resistance, you get bored, you get tired, it's hard. And so you say, oh, I'll just quickly go over here to YouTube or to my emails and see what's going on. That's where all distractions come from, in my opinion. They come from within, where you just get tired of doing the task or scared about it or whatever, bored of it. And you look to ease yourself out of that situation. Has that been your experience?
Yes.
Or are you the kind of person who is able to maintain iron discipline and the only stuff that distracts you is the dog coming in to be fed or the significant other wanting to walk?
You know, well, first of all, it goes back to something you mentioned before, where when we were talking about your calendar and you said, this is when I'm going to be biking, for instance, or running. And when I have things I have to do and I haven't finished my priority list for the day, when I go into my office, I will tell my significant other, hey, I got to work for the next 2 hours. And the only thing she'll do to distract me is bring me a drink or something like that. She'll make a shake or something like that. And she'll say, here you go. And that's it. So that's very useful that I have a very supportive, you know, significant other that's willing to do that for me and just block off time. And a lot of times it's my conversation with her is like, I got to work for like 2 hours straight right now. Do you need me to do anything, you know, before I go into my office? Because I'm not going to come out of there till like 2 o'clock. And then she'll say, yeah, can you do this, this, and this? Can you go to the store, pick up something? I was like, yeah. So let's not call that out. And then I'll come back and we'll both feel better about me locking myself in my office. That's one way. And then the email thing that I mentioned, getting, you know, designating those two times and keeping zero emails in my box, zero. It gets in my head. Like 2 years ago, I had like 8,000 emails and it bugged me. The reason I had all those emails is because I thought they were important and I hadn't done anything about them yet. And then I just decided, hey, I'm not going to do that anymore. If I'm going to do something about it, but not right this second, I'm going to put it in this one email box, which I will look at every Sunday. And then I will clean that out. And everything else gets addressed right now. It either gets, you know, erased because I don't care anymore. And I try to take myself off the mailing list, which happens a lot, or I write an email back right then and fix it. If I need input from someone, it'll stay in my box and, you know, staring at me and bugging me until someone gives me feedback so I can address it. But that's my biggest distraction. I usually start all my projects on my schedule. I'm very good about that. I'm very disciplined. Maybe it's the military. I don't know. I know it was in high school. But when I have a schedule and it says I'm starting this at 3 o'clock, then at 3 o'clock, I'm starting that. And I do trick myself because I write my schedule out around dinner for tomorrow, around dinner the day before. And then if I end up with extra time in the evening, I'll start knocking things out. So about half my day's done before I was like, oh, I wanted to. One of the things I've stretched out over the month of January is my taxes. I do a piece of my taxes every day and I have a list of things I got to accumulate and sort and put into my tax program and stuff like that. And so I do one of those a day and I may do that the night before so I don't have to bother with the tax piece of it or something like that. Or if I know I got something that's may probably go long the next day, then I'll do my 500 words of writing my book that I want to do every day. I'll do that the night before. So I actually won't write that day because I did two the day before, but I'll trick myself. I'll have my list of things for the next day and I already have four of them crossed out before I go to bed.
So the method you're describing, you know, and the word you use, trick yourself, I like that. It really is, how do you help yourself be productive and get the stuff done that you want? The other thing I wanted to highlight is, you know, I said there's only two things that distract us. One is ourselves and the other is everything else. And really, I do believe it starts with ourselves, because when you were describing the email, your 8,000 emails before and your decision to stop being bothered by that, it was the mental distress it was causing you. It was the worry. It was things that made you unhappy about having such a big email box that caused you to work on it. The flip side, which also comes through from the way you described your priorities and doing them in the evening and sometimes knocking something off a priority list for the next day already the prior evening, is it's immensely satisfying to have priorities and to get your priorities accomplished. I told my successor, I think I told you this story before, that for her to outperform her peers, all she had to do was set priorities, work on the most important thing, and get a single productive hour per day done. Most people can't even manage to get that done, right? They either don't have priorities set and they don't have even a little bit of time to work on their priorities, because as soon as they come into the office, they're responding to some crisis, something that somebody else said you should work on rather than your decision. This is what I want to work on. But in exactly the same way that the things that distract you are causing you some sort of mental stress, you're either bored and you want to get a dopamine hit, or you're stressed by something or worried about trying to remember something. In the same way that those things cause you mental worry, sticking to your schedule and accomplishing things on your priorities list cause you a lot of satisfaction. So there's a reward to doing this. It's not all just work and how do you be productive. It actually feels really good to be getting things done according to your own predetermined list of priorities.
Yeah, I'm a super list guy and I'm just super disciplined. And if I have a schedule, I'm keeping to it. I rarely go over my estimated time of tasks just because I fluff them up too much. I'm not saying I never get distracted. We're also a different generation, right? I mean, I'm not a TikTok, Instagram, Facebook kind of guy. Sometimes I do go once in a long while, I'll get distracted and spend too much time at looking at cat videos. That's not some I go to. I don't even do that when I'm a passenger in a car. I don't go to my phone. I end up talking to the driver and things like that.
So considering that we are of a different generation, Randy, is our advice useful to people who grew up looking at their screens and who would say, I look at my kids sometimes and I watch them trying to study, and that the same time as they've got a lecture open, they've got another screen open and there's a TikTok running in the background. And I think to myself, my God, that cannot work. But for them, it does seem to.
Yeah, I think that the generation that grows up with it, or maybe they're not as distracted as much as we would be. I studied in high school with some music in the background or nothing. And we had less access to music back then. We had to have a tape recorder or a record player. So I don't know. I don't know the answer back because we're not that generation. But
I'm going to suggest something, which is an approach that served me well while I was at work in a lot of different topics. It's a little bit like developing new skills, but even on a more basic level, which is if you're not sure about whether something works or not, just experiment. And call it an experiment, because that allows you to turn it on and turn it off after a relatively short period of time. By saying, I'm going to practice or experiment with studying without having a second screen going or without having a distraction running in the background, you're not making a huge commitment. You're just saying, I'm going to see if this works. If it does, I'll keep doing it. If it doesn't work, I'll stop doing it. And that gives you the freedom to try new things. And over time, you'll figure out what works for you. So again, Randy and I are not saying that you need to do what we have done. That's not at all the point. And in fact, you should be getting the sense that Randy and I follow some different practices here. It's that we've experimented and tried stuff out and we've learned what works for us. And then we keep on applying carefully and mindfully a little bit more of the thing that works for us in our setting. And by the way, mine have changed over the years, right? The stuff that I used 10 years ago is not the same as I'm using now. The type of work that I'm doing now is different than I was doing before. So I'm having to adjust my systems as well. That, for me at least, is made much easier if I just give myself the flexibility to say, just because I've been doing something doesn't mean I have to keep doing it. And I'm just going to experiment and try new things out. So for all of you who think, all right, I'm not sure about this distraction thing that Randy and James are talking about, my advice is just practice it, just experiment. And it doesn't take much, a couple of days, a week, and you'll see whether you like it.
I think the military has something really good in its training. Maybe a lot of business training goes this way too, but military has almost made it mandatory that you have to have a 10-minute break every hour. So you go through a class, the classes are meant to be 50 minutes. And then you get a 10-minute break. And I've kind of incorporated that into my work schedule too. I will schedule time and I will have my priorities, but I have a shortcut on my phone. And then I say, hey, Siri, writing. And it starts an automatic countdown of, 20 minutes or 50 minutes, depending on what I tell it to do. And at the end of the countdown, when it rings, I get up, take a walk, pet the dogs, kind of see if there's anything that needs to be done. So really, my significant other and the people in my household know that I'm going to pop out every hour and check in with them. So if they really need something, unless it's important, they usually won't come in and interrupt me anyway, as far as that's concerned.
I like that a lot. And I did try to incorporate something similar in the work environment. I said before that you should not schedule your full day. Don't schedule time back to back to back, because there will be distractions that come up. Things will take longer than you expect, and you'll just get frustrated at not completing all the things that you scheduled. One of the ways that I encourage people to do it is exactly what you're describing. Don't schedule a meeting for a full hour. Schedule it for, we referred to the 22-minute meeting instead of a 30-minute meeting, because it makes you think and laugh, right? And a 45-minute meeting. Whoever said meetings had to be 30 minutes and an hour long? And especially because that encourages you to schedule them back to back, an hour-long meeting followed by an hour-long meeting. Well, if you schedule a 45-minute meeting, what does that do? It means you get a chance to get up and go pee. You write your notes from the meeting. Maybe you send a quick follow-up. You can close the loop on the thing that you just finished and get ready for the next meeting before it starts. Really, really, really helpful. Or say one meeting goes over by a few minutes. Oh, well, no problem. You've got a few minutes of extra in your schedule. So I didn't know the military did that. I don't know that it's standard practice at a lot of companies, but we found it to be really, really helpful when we gave people the flexibility and actually encouraged them to make sure that they had gaps in between the meetings that they were scheduling.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all the advice I have for distractions. I won't say I never get distracted. I get distracted just like everyone else, but these are the ways that I've developed to make them the least distracting distractions.
Hey, distractions are attractive because they do give you a little bit of a reward. They get you out of doing something unpleasant at the moment. They make it feel good to switch to doing something else. And I think you said right at the beginning, and maybe we'll end on that, that if you plan your schedule correctly, if you set your priorities correctly, you can also reward yourself with the type of distraction that you like, whether it's a walk or a snack or whatever. So we're not in any way suggesting that you only work, not at all. We're suggesting that you just be tactical and thoughtful about how you schedule your day to get the most done in a way that you'll be happy about. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks a lot. See you next time.
You've just listened to the Passionately Wrong podcast with James Bellargeau and Randy Searles. If you like this episode, follow us on your podcast platform or subscribe on YouTube. Join us each week to help you make better decisions by challenging your assumptions. And check out all our episodes at passionallywrong.com.